Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast, NXT flavored edition. I'm El Fakador Laurie Blake and I'm joined by Adam Blompier. How's it going?
I'm all right, thanks.
Are you excited to talk about NXT? I know we've already talked about it, but not really.
Laurie, I am always excited to share our spicy takes about NXT. Yeah.
To get in trouble. Blompier and Blake just causing trouble on the YouTubes.
With the original bad boys.
The original bad
NXT
boys.
Journalist.
Yeah. Didn't like one thing one time. So we address that in the show. We also talk about the main talking point is that Velveteen Dream has made his return to NXT. And obviously, that has gone over mixed with the NXT fandom. Here is the show. But let's talk about the main event, which was Kushida versus Cameron Grimes versus mystery opponent. And mystery opponent turned out to be Velveteen Dream with a tiny little goatee now to signal something that happened later in the match. And this has caused, as you would probably imagine, considering some of the allegations that were levied against the Dream during the speaking out movement on Twitter and social media within the wrestling community, some division amongst fans of WWE and NXT. Obviously, there are some people who are happy to see him back, having, you know, like the allegations thus far. He's denied. People are pleased in that sense to be like, Dream's back. And other people think, you know, maybe he shouldn't be given this platform and be back on TV quite so quickly. Obviously, like on AEW side of the coin, Sammy Guevara has returned after being suspended for a bit after making those comments about Sasha Banks on the podcast all that time ago. So they've kind of quite recently gone through a very similar thing. I think it's too early for Dream to return, if at all. Personally, I don't think this does anything for NXT. It's just a bit of a, you know, like trying to reframe it all, as well as being like, he's taken time off because he lost the NXT championship match that he had with Adam Cole. Remember the one in the parking lot? I'm not into that. I don't like that. I also think this feels like a bit of like a continuation of the experiment that WWE has been doing with NXT recently, to be like, what will pop the ratings? And, you know, we've got last week, it was Pat McAfee and kicking Adam Cole in the head. Did that beat AEW? Not particularly. Like, you know, bringing Sasha Banks and Bayley down, like, you know, does people appearing from the main roster really pop the ratings enough to beat AEW on a consistent basis? No, this just feels like courting controversy for the point of courting controversy and an attempt to just be like, will that last hour of NXT just get a bump in the viewings because people know that something you know, that's going to be talked about and spoken about is happening. I'm not massively into this, really.
Speaking of courting controversy, do you want to apologize for your bad opinion on last week's NXT review?
About Pat McAfee? Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I will. Just as soon as you tell me the last good celebrity appearance that WWE did, because we've had, you know, last year or so, we had the Gronk, didn't we? He was the Gronk. We had Tyson Fury. We had... You know, Cain Velasquez was at least signed, but, you know, he was handled very well. I'm just saying that normally in WWE, these sorts of appearances are a load of bollocks. And I'm not heavily invested in this. And then, the other thing with the Pat McAfee thing, he couldn't even be there this week, could he, to do something? Because that's the nature of working with celebrities from outside of your company.
It's just that last week's video was quite heavily... Like the like likes to dislikes was quite heavily skewed away from what it normally is, Laurie.
I'm aware because, yeah, people like Pat McAfee, but you have to understand that we're on a side of the world that doesn't even understand that sport.
Yeah, that's true.
Time. So, you know, like, he's not a celebrity to me. He's just a guy that appears on WWE TV and he kicked an Adam Cole. And I still don't think it's good.
Even though you know now,
that even though I know, know no, even though
he's
I know
an
now,
actual but, professional footballer, that still hasn't fired.
Well, I knew that last week. It doesn't make any difference that he was once a professional footballer. It makes no difference. If it was Michael Owen, if it was Wayne Rooney doing it to Adam Cole, I wouldn't care. You know, I'm sure I could have picked more current footballers. From this side of the proper football, you know, the one
Ronaldo
over there. Yes, Ronaldo. Yeah, Maradona. If it was Maradona kicking Adam Cole in the head, I still wouldn't. It wouldn't be kicking him, obviously. He'd be headbutting him, but using his hand. Yeah, I still wouldn't be behind this whole thing. But let's jump back to. So that's my apology.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a bad opinion. It was the wrong opinion.
As opinions are often wrong. It was very much the wrong opinion to have of, you know, like I've said, WWE have done very well with celebrities.
Yeah. I mean, we're incredibly negative on the show, as you know. Very often we talk about just the things we hate about NXT. We don't talk about how much we're loving Keith Lee versus Karrion Kross. We don't talk about how much we were enjoying like the North American scene being reestablished for the mid-card. We weren't enjoying kind of the fact that Robert Stone had a big payoff. Like we hate everything on NXT, which is why we dedicate a lot of our life to talking about it. We hate Santos Escobar and El Legado del Fantasma, I seem to remember. It's just it's so negative constantly, Laurie, and the fans have noticed, and I'm glad you're taking responsibility for
I take sole responsibility for
thank you, that's big of you, mate.
I should have been reining you in, and mm-hmm. that is my problem. I should have been reining you in because
I was a huge fan of Pat McAfee. You shouted me down, and I don't appreciate being lumped in with your relentless negativity where I love everything about NXT, and I've made that very, very clear. We're not a review show after all. We're biased. Even though we're not reviewing AEW, we both love AEW much more than WWE. I mean, if this was happening,
that's why I love it so much. I don't watch it. That's how much I love it, because I want to keep it special. I want to save it for best AEW. That's why I don't watch it.
Yeah, I remember when Mike Tyson appeared on AEW, we didn't like that, just privately, but we didn't put that into that. Of course, if Pat McAfee had happened in AEW, we would have liked it. To be fair, we would have. Yeah.
Because they would have done it, but they would have done it better.
Yeah, of course they would. They do everything better.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Velveteen's Dream is back. Yeah, it's really uncomfortable.
But we love it. We're trying to say
I guess we have.
We'll drop the joke for now.
Yeah,
we probably should talk about this seriously because it's a very serious thing.
As you can tell, I've just been trying to avoid talking about with anything else. From what I could see, obviously him being back, I guess, is WWE's tacit way of saying the investigation is over, and we have found Velveteen Dream to basically be in the clear. It's weird. So he's back on TV. So evidently, like, WWE are comfortable employing him. He's turned heel because maybe WWE aren't comfortable that fans will continue to support him. So they've turned him heel in what is a very uncomfortable marriage of heel in real life and heel behind the camera. It's not necessarily for us to judge, jury, and execution. Obviously, like, I would hope an investigation has been happening behind the scenes. WWE's practice and standards suggest that, hey, who knows what's happened behind the scenes, because they are not the most rigorous at disciplining people behind the scenes. You know, obviously, some people were let go. If there was an investigation and it was found that Velveteen Dream was completely hacked on multiple occasions, then that's what happened. If there hasn't been an investigation, then that is what didn't happen. All we could say is a Velveteen Dream is on TV. And yeah, it's not enough time has passed for people for it, even just taking the moral judgment out of things, because I don't feel comfortable with that, obviously. It is simply too soon for it to be a comfortable viewing experience, I think, for most people.
And also to do it in such a bet hedging way as well. Like, you know, if you're going to bring him back and you're this confident in doing it, do it. Like, don't do he's not going to win this. He's going to be this mystery opponent in the triple threat match, so we can change our minds at the last minute. One, he's going to not win the match, but he's going to be the third man. So he's not getting a big victory off the bat. He's just getting his heel turn. And then he's going to face Finn Balor, a match where you can realistically go, well, Finn Balor would win that. If the reaction's that bad this week, you can just go, well, Finn Balor wins next week. Velveteen Dream drifts off into the background. You know, really, it just feels like they've just gone, well, let's just put him on TV and see what people say. And, you know, maybe, and I really do think some of that might just be a kind of case of, like, you know, if we stir the pot enough, people might watch, because this was good. You know, this main event's going up against Chris Jericho and Orange Cassidy. Like, you know, WWE likes to counter program, and they've got to kind of get something going for NXT. And they seem desperate this year, and especially in the last couple of months, to get NXT higher viewing figures and talked about more. And this does just feel like a sort of another paltry attempt to just spark any kind of response from a different demographic than the over 50s that are the kind of NXT lifers that watch it. It's a shame, kind of overshadows, like, what was a really brilliant performance from Kushida, who also was basically making his return, you know, and Cameron Grimes, who's now on the up and up, to the moon, as Cameron Grimes would say. But, like,
to the moon.
You know, it does feel like this is all overshadowing that.
It felt like, yeah, like you say, in order to have the surprise factor of Velveteen Dream, the company didn't really make any kind of public address. And, like, it's one of those things where, like, this is not us trying to basically just, like, hound the Velveteen Dream. We don't know the ins and outs of everything that happened, you know, like, it's possible he was hacked. It's not for us to kind of judge this way or the other. The fact that WWE put him back on telly without addressing these things, like, you know, if they put out a statement saying, we've investigated the matter and we are 100% behind Velveteen Dream, we believe he is not, you know, whatever, in these actions, then there's a little bit, that's a little bit more for the fans to kind of grasp onto. Instead of just, like, shuffling him out after the hashtag has gone away, then it does create this murky atmosphere of WWE just being like, oh, people have forgotten. It's fine. Yeah, we haven't died
down. Yeah, it's not.
And maybe they will bring out a statement. I don't know. And, like, I think we should probably move on, but it's, all we can do is judge the program that was presented to us, and both of us, independently of each other and independently of any kind of bias or whatever people may have. And honestly, like, just please try and think of where we're coming from before you comment. But, like, simply put, like, the presentation of Velveteen Dream's return was icky. It was it just was. And I don't think it needed to be. And yeah, I buy it that, you know, the whole mystery cell, oh, shock return, trying to kind of get those views in. And I do believe that was the wrong way, regardless of what happened.
It doesn't give anyone a chance to say what they feel before the fact either, you know? Like, it doesn't give people the opportunity to go, here's my opinion on this right now. Like, people are still in the, like, the wrestling scene is in the process of rebuilding after the speaking out movement. And it is still at a very sort of raw stage of planning and changing. And it's quite important, I think, in this situation to, you know, give people a heads up about what your plans are when it comes to people that have had allegations levied against them in the case of like Velveteen Dream. And I think it would have been fairer of WWE to say, we've investigated, like you said, we're completely behind this. This is the choice we're making. Here is the show. You can choose not to watch it if you don't want to watch it. Like, you know, I think there must have been viewers out there that for that moment felt very tricked and betrayed by NXT as Dream gets the big sort of mystery opponent entrance. So yeah, I don't, it's not, like you said, it's not for us to judge in that sense. It's not perfect telly, is it, in this scenario? And they could have, there are many ways to do this that would have been more compassionate, I think, to fans who have obviously been rocked by what's happened in the wrestling industry in the last couple of months. So I think, yeah, this was a poor choice.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Do you like wrestling? Do you like improv? Do you like role-playing games? Then you'll love No Roles Barred, presented by the WrestleTalk Podcast Network. Six players come together to create a fictional wrestling promotion, roll dice, and create the kind of insanity that real companies could only dream of creating. Can Tony the Milkman survive the twilight of his career and still find time to care for his wrestling son? Can the Denimatrix overcome the vicious Apex and achieve total denimation? Can brothers Golden Joe and Silver Bro coexist as a tag team before they combust? Find out now with the wrestling show that everyone's talking about. No Roles Barred is available wherever you get your podcasts and only presented on the WrestleTalk Podcast Network.
But let's talk about the rest of the show, because the rest of the show was pretty damn good and is much easier to talk about as well. Except this first bit, because it opened with a recap of the Pat McAfee Pat McAfee and Adam Cole feud, which obviously we love now because
Laurie, careful, we've changed careful, to, Laurie.
No,
Laurie.
We've changed to the correct opinion. I love it.
Good, thank you.
Moving on, I won't. Say, I'll say no more because it's so perfect. Then we got Karrion Kross versus Danny Burch, which I've written it, my first note of this is just I still legit get goosebumps for Karrion Kross's entrance. It's so good.
Yeah,
I the presentation of this character is amazing. I think pretty much everything they've done with him has been pitch perfect. There's a little bit of this that I'm a bit like, this was kind of goofy what happened at the end of this match, but I still kind of like it. It's still quite fun. So Danny Burch runs out after obviously being put to sleep last week during Karrion Kross's backstage rampage. He starts wailing on Kross, knocks him out of the ring.
Ring the bell. I love that.
Yeah. I love the bit that, you know, like he gets him, he sort of blindsides Kross as well, knocks him out of the ring. And then as soon as they get outside, Kross just picked him up by the head. He just went like, no, over there. There were some really cool moments in this as well of like, you know, Danny Burch has always been presented as like an absolute hard nut in NXT. And this was that kind of like given form, and it was really good for Kross to just be like, I'm just not fazed by your offense here. Like, you know, he hits a huge German suplex and Kross just pops up and then he nails him with a clothesline, gets a pin for like close two. And then he got this Kross face on, and this is my favorite moment in the match. He gets this Kross face on Karrion Kross. It's too many Kross faces. And Kross's Kross face turns to look at Danny Burch while he's doing it and just gives him these eyes. And it's just like, I don't even care that you're doing this, and lifts him up out of the crossface into the Saito, the Doomsday Saito, and then just starts hitting him with more and more and more. Burch fires out the corner for one last swing, hits this big punch and collapses to the floor, and Kross is just completely unfazed by it. And then just goes, do you remember this? And puts him in the cross jacket and gets the win. So good. So, yeah. So good.
Really good squash. And not kind of like, it's not necessarily like, because I love the Fiend character. Some of the Fiend's no selling, I think, is problematic just in terms of kind of like long-term stuff. Like if you register no pain, if you register no kind of lack of coordination as a result of offense, then I think that is really problematic to book from then on. Kross is incredibly hard to fight. But he's not, you know, like if you come at him strong, like, you know, hard, like you said, like Danny Burch managed to get him over the ropes, and like there were some moments he managed to kind of maneuver him down. Like Kross is not invincible, which is important. He's just incredibly strong and like kind of has a psychopathy to kind of ignore pain, even though he is feeling it, and something like his body does react, but his kind of, he just pushes through it. I think that's a really, really clever way of booking a monster. It doesn't completely nullify Burch. I really like it. Also, there was just a perfect little bit of timing in this match. Obviously Beth Phoenix is not in the performance center. She's doing her stuff remotely. There was a perfect lineup of call and action in the ring. I think Scarlett said something while Beth was speaking, and Killer Kross was either reacting to that or to an audience member. But Beth Phoenix says, Burt showing a little bit of life. And then instantly afterwards, Kross in the ring says, not for long, he doesn't. And then boom, throws him over the shoulder. And I'm sure Kross was talking to someone else, but it was the perfect, it's like Kross can hear the way, you can hear frequency. I thought that was really, really fun. And then we had a little bit of WCW, just as a little kind of cherry on the cake after the match.
Yeah, so Keith Lee comes out, he arrives holding a contract. He says he's agreed he won't put his hands on Kross until TakeOver, so the match will get signed. He says, this has my name on it, this has Regal's name on it, and all it needs is your punk-ass name on it. And he chucks it down. Scarlett takes it and she shows it to Kross. He does a big like it's like it was that real sort of like, yeah, I don't even know how to use a pen kind of writing.
You find it like a velociraptor or something.
Yeah. And then Scarlett folds it up, kisses it, chucks it back in the ring. Keith Lee picks it up. I was like, oh, okay. I was sort of expecting there to just be a big cross mark through it, and that'd be like you know,
a dick.
yeah, that's it. He's just drawn a crude caricature.
I'd drawn Dominic Dijakovic's dead body. Oh no, what a heel.
But I was sort of expecting like the X marks a spot thing that he was doing in Impact, you know, like this is, I've sort of just crossed your name out, Keith Lee, because you're my target. And instead, when Keith Lee opens the contract, we get close-up magic. Who would have thought that that's what you would have got in NXT? Like, this is the thing that this feud needed, was a little bit of razzmatazz, a little bit of, you know, something to razzle-dazzle the crowd. And at TakeOver, I can't wait to watch him saw Scarlett in half before the match begins.
I will be absolutely crushed if next week Keith Lee doesn't, if it's not, if they don't do the same where Keith Lee sees Killer Karrion Kross in the mirror in his dressing room, but no one else can see him.
Do you know, you remember that year, I can't remember what year it was, but it was the year like Tomb Raider came out, the remaster of Tomb Raider, the reversion of Tomb Raider, and like every single game had a bow and arrow in it that year. It feels like every single wrestling feud has to have some sort of eye thing this year. That is, 2020 will be the year of the eye, the year of the eye patch. I still liked this moment. I think it was a little bit goofy. And Mauro Ranallo going, "What the hell? A freaking fireball? I was not expecting this sort of thing." Like, that was, it was all a little bit corny, but I
Mama
still
quite mia.
Like, yeah, I still like it.
Great balls of fire.
Oh my God. But yeah, like, I think Lee sold it really well. I liked the sort of, they really lingered on him being helped out of the ring and outside of the building into the ambulance, to the point where it even bled into the next match. Then they kind of forgot about it for the rest of the show, which is fine. I think it's a good, this, it feels like a way to comfortably set up the idea that Keith Lee will probably lose at TakeOver 30. And he doesn't look too weak in doing so, because now Karrion Kross is really, he's played a real dirty trick, isn't he?
The thing is, like, it's, yeah, like you say, all of the consequences were perfect. Keith Lee being hospitalized and then going into TakeOver with something wrong is perfect. That's exactly, like, yeah, absolutely. Because then, yeah, you can beat Keith Lee. Them treating it with all the seriousness, like him being helped to the back, like, oh, we have another match scheduled, but we do have this situation, so we're going to do this kind of split screen thing, like, we're all really concerned about this. Yeah, it's fantastic. It make Karrion Kross look evil. The only thing that is kind of annoyed me about it, I don't even mind the fact that it's a fireball. Like, it's corny and it's hokey, but like, it's fine. It's just that Karrion Kross hasn't been supernatural up until now. He's been like, if the explanation is that somehow they snuck, like you say, if the explanation is it's close up magic and they somehow snuck a bit of like kind of grease paper, like flame paper, and if they somehow rigged up a little mechanism inside the book whilst they were signing it, like, I guess that's weirder, but I guess like what they're trying to sell is that either Scarlett has supernatural kisses, or Karrion Kross is able to summon fireballs from the ether, which is just it's not his gimmick, right? He's just psychopath who has a great flair for the macabre and a bit of showmanship. I don't know. I don't want to read too much into it, because like I said, it's, I don't think it is anything to really get grumpy about, because it had the right effect. It's just a little weird. It's a little bit of weird kind of like inconsistency in what has otherwise been a really, like, really solid presentation of Karrion Kross. Maybe they'll clarify exactly what happened, but yeah, it's either close-up magic or just magic, and either way it's a bit odd.
I feel there were like other ways you could have got to Keith Lee is injured in this, and you know, we've specifically attacked his eyes, like you use sand and hourglasses. They could have chucked it and rubbed it in his eyes. I don't know, like there are other ways than this sort of fireball, and like you said, I do think it's a slight wobble in otherwise a really strong narrative booking of a character, because this was actually treated with the sort of the reverence that I thought last week should have been treated with, like, you know, this whole sort of hushed tone, and we're following the story as it unfolds. Like, it would have been really nice to see the aftermath of last week with that same level of like respect given to it, like, and rather than just brushing over to get to the Undisputed Era and Pat McAfee, which we won't talk about because it's perfect. But like, you know, I think this furthered the story really nicely. And yeah, I'm hoping they kind of clarify and give you a good reason for it sort of being a fireball, and it's not, ideally it's not magic, because magic sucks. Magic works for certain characters, and I don't think it necessarily works for Karrion Kross, because that's not how they've made him so far. And also, he doesn't feel like the character that needs dirty tricks and magic to face Keith Lee currently. He's beaten everyone easily, and he's been asking for this match, and now he's already resorted to sort of like trying to blind Keith Lee in order to win. And it maybe feels too soon for that in the feud and in Karrion Kross's run in NXT. But let's move on, because after that was Drake Maverick versus Killian Dane, and some shots of an ambulance, and also a commercial break, which basically made the thing unfollowable for me. Like, I was just watching this going, what is happening? Drake mostly gets murdered here by Killian Dane.
Literally one storyline pulled out of the parking lot and another storyline arrived, all while this match was happening. And he said, like, hey, they got paid for it, I guess. Shame no one was watching. But like, which is it was a weird match to have, because like, Maverick versus Dane, lovely little kind of David versus Goliath thing. I'd like to see Maverick try and hang with Dane for 10 minutes, but you know, it's fine. We may see it at another time. Cause then Yui arrived and just be like, definitely this match is over now. What are you even trying to do having a match right now? Send them packing. And genuinely look, we're very cheeky about it. I'm still not a fan of the angle from last week, but this was a really, really good promo from Adam Cole.
Oh, because Adam Cole is an amazing wrestler and promo. And I'll say no more. This was absolutely brilliant from Adam Cole. He said, like, you know, like, I know you're watching, Pat, shut up and listen. You want to come into my world and play wrestler? You kick me with my arms tied behind my back. That's not special. What is special is being the longest reigning NXT champion, and at TakeOver, you're going to be in the ring with that guy. And then he challenged Pat to come next week and get through the ropes, get into the ring, the hardest bit to do, and look him in the eye, and then just know that he's in way over his head. That is undisputed. This was fire. This was really, really good. If anyone can make me care about this, it's Adam Cole. I do really think, like, I think the presentation of this feud has been good. I just think the end product isn't going to live up to expectations. And that is, you know, that it kind of feels, that's what I think fuels my issues with it, is that I think I'm going to be let down in the end. I think this was really good. Adam Cole sold this like he was talking to Tommaso Ciampa, or you know, somebody else. He sold this like this is someone to respect, and that, you know, that's a good way to get Pat over as well. Like, you know, he said like, you know, it wasn't, I'm just putting you in your place. It was like, no, you're legit. You've done something here. But legitimately, I am a really respected person. So you've got to be crazy to get into the ring with me. And then hopefully next week, Pat's answer is good enough to make it seem like this is a worthy challenge for Adam Cole. Mm. Not just going to be Adam brutalizing non-wrestler Pat McAfee at TakeOver. Which, to be fair, I don't think I mind seeing.
We would love this match to over-deliver. Because we love Adam Cole so much. And I think part of the worry about it is that, like, way back in early 90s, 80s, kayfabe was tenuous enough that just because a celebrity was big, you think, oh yeah, they'll handle themselves in a fight. But we know that wrestling is a lot harder. It's a lot more choreographed. There's a lot more kind of like, it's a completely different kind of athleticism. It's a combination of like acting, timing. It is incredibly rehearsed, that like, you have to be on point. You have to not just take care of yourself, but you have to take care of your partner in the ring. It's incredibly different. It's not, you know, it's not like when there's, oh, Lawrence Taylor is big, so therefore I'm sure the match will be exciting. I think we're just like, where a lot of the kind of the concern and a lot of the kind of the backlash from us personally has come from is like, Adam Cole just lost the NXT title. He could really do with a really great takeover match. And so far, yes, he's a punter. He can kick a dude hard, but I haven't seen anything to suggest that the end product will be any good. I hope that it's true. Like he's apparently been training in NXT. I did a bit more reading. And so, yeah, we hope the match is good. Right now, I don't see anything. I haven't been turned around that the match is good. I'm still not particularly looking forward to seeing it, because I just want Adam Cole to go out there and have a really fun 15 minutes just to remind you of, oh, yeah, that's Adam Cole. Mm-hmm. That's brilliant. And I'm not sure if Pat McAfee can hold up his end. If he can, I'd love to be wrong. But right now, yeah, like, great promo from Adam Cole. It reminded us that he is the best in the business and probably should be facing someone else.
Oh, yeah.
But if it's good, it's good. And that is like all we want is for the wrestling we watch to not be a waste of our time. We want the wrestling to be good.
Well, you know, like, and, you know, I've obviously brought up the other celebrities they've had recently do wrestling matches. And even the guy who was trained in martial arts didn't particularly have good matches. And they were booked badly, the ones with Brock Lesnar and Cain Velasquez. But, you know, like, my hope is that this falls more in line with Ronda Rousey's debut at WrestleMania. You know, like, Ronda Rousey obviously had like serious wrestling training before she had that match, but that match was scripted to a T and worked perfectly because of it. Obviously, there are less places for Pat McAfee's weaknesses to be hidden because it's not Triple H and Kurt Angle also in the match. Like, you know, there's nowhere to hide. You don't have Stephanie McMahon to be a perfect foil here. You can't get that brilliant moment where Ronda comes in against Triple H, but hopefully Adam Cole can ring general Pat McAfee to, I can't even say his name anymore, Pat McAfee to a good match.
I've just thought about something.
Go on.
So in the promo, he mentioned, oh, okay, I don't think they'll do it, but it's WWE and they've done this stuff before. But he mentioned, you kicked me while I had both arms behind my back. That's not special. I worry that at some point Adam Cole says, I could beat you with both hands tied behind my back.
No, please.
And
no.
They leap on it. And the thing for this match, the thing to protect Pat McAfee and the reason to get, so because Pat McAfee is obviously wrestling this heel, and the way they can do the actual heel controlling the match thing is if they shackle Adam Cole's hands behind his back. I'm putting that energy out there.
But if you put it out there, then it's floating around and WWE seem to suck all that energy up and then turn it into storylines. Someone must have mentioned karaoke in the last like month, because that ended up on SmackDown. Moving on. Santos Escobar versus Tyler Breeze. We had a little Kushida package before that. Breeze coming out of his solo music should happen more. I love Tyler Breeze's original entrance. He came out quite serious here, but it's nice to hear his music. Santos comes out and he sends the gang to the back. He's like, I've got this. I'm going to take this on my own. And then continues to sort of knee Breeze around the ring for a bit. They have sort of a back and forth match, and then Breeze starts to fire up properly. And the rest of Legado del Fantasma come out and save Escobar, who then just scoops Breeze into the Phantom Driver. I don't like this presentation of Escobar. I think Escobar, I don't know why turning heel has made Escobar completely crap. Because he was, do you remember he got to the final and won the Cruiserweight Championship? Do you remember
Tyler Breeze is good, Laurie. He's like a really good wrestler.
He's not presented that good in NXT for Escobar to need two guys to run in and make the save. Like, I don't know. I would love to see a faction in which the leader of the faction wasn't using the faction just to help him win all the matches. They were more like, oh, I'm so good that you're not even worth my time. So here's my guys. Mm. Like, I'd love to see that presentation of a wrestling heel for once. I'm getting quite tired of the leaders of factions. And like, because this is exactly what Undisputed Era have done for a year in NXT as well. Like, you know, all of Adam Cole's TV championship defenses and stuff just had the Era interfering. We've had interference in factions in NXT like drilled into us, and it just feels a little bit too obvious now. It's not making me buy Santos Escobar as like a cruiserweight champion, because as soon as he won the belt, all he's done is cheat. And it's so just kind of boring.
Okay, so I agree with you and disagree with you. I think I do like the presentation of a heel who doesn't need to cheat but does, because it's easier. Because like, I'll sod it. And you're like, why should I break a sweat? I've got my guys. Mm-hmm. I like that. I think that's really heelish, because then that also builds for the big match where the heel has to try, and then it's something different, and then it's a step above. Like, I've got no doubt that this match with Isaiah Surf Scott is going to bang. The only issue I have is that literally they've done the same segment pretty much with Legado del Fantasma for the last month. It literally every single week since he turned heel, he's come out and either done a match or said something. The numbers game happens, someone gets beaten down, and then another babyface idiot runs out to face the numbers game, doesn't work. And either it ends like kind of 3-on-2 or 3-on-1, or some other babyface runs out to make the save. Literally, they've done variations on this. Mm-hmm. Legado del Fantasma do a beatdown, someone else runs out and then gets beaten down as well. They've literally done a variation on that segment every single week for the past like 4-5 weeks. It's pretty like I said, it makes a logical sense. You know, you've got the numbers, use them, but I just feel like it, yeah, I think they need a little bit of change up. Just stop doing the same segment.
I think they need to make Escobar look a bit stronger on his own, and then it will mean more when Swerve Scott stands up to him. I think I liked this presentation at the end where Fandango came out injured with the stick and gets in the ring, and they hit him in the broken arm. I thought that was quite cool. Swerve making the save is great. Like, it's a little bit of build for TakeOver, whatever. I think Swerve and Escobar is going to be a great match, because we know, but it just smacks of, we don't really care about the cruiserweights that much. So they have one storyline and we'll just rinse and repeat until we get to the match. And then everyone will talk about the match, and that's fine. Like, I don't know. The cruiserweight title just never really gets anywhere. It just does wrestling 101 and then has amazing matches, which is fine. We've got a Dakota Kai package that I really liked. I thought this was quite good.
I love her saying that she did everything on her own. It's brilliant. Yep. It's like literally at no point since you started, Dakota, have you done anything by yourself. Even last week when you didn't have Raquel Gonzalez, you had Mercedes Martinez. I think that's lovely healing. Again, it's like someone who completely believes their own BS. It's really, really good.
Yeah, and she says that she's, you know, everyone's put Io on this pedestal, but she's worked out how to beat her. And yeah, this is probably some of the most character that Dakota Kai has shown for a long time. Like, she doesn't get to speak very often because she's normally out there to lose matches. But like, it's nice to see what her heel character's about now and get that kind of like peek behind the curtain of like the inner workings of her mind. And like you said, it's great to sort of her to believe her own hype. And she's obviously her only hype man as well. We got a Ridge Holland package after that. And then we got Indy Hartwell versus Mia Yim, who apparently had dashed back from the hospital to compete in this match. She's a pro.
She's a pro.
Fear of what? Like, it wasn't like anything was on the line. Like, I would have just been like, look, Regal, come on. My boy's just been blinded by some close-up magic. Can I stay at the hospital? And can you, I don't know, like, can you chuck anyone else in there against Indy Hartwell? But fine. Like, Mia runs back. She's like, I barely had time to put my gear on. Runs out to the ring. Story of this match was really good, though. The story of this match was that Mia couldn't really get into the fight because she was too distracted by what had gone on with Keith Lee earlier. And that gave Indy Hartwell a little bit of a chance to shine here, because she's been in a few matches recently and been completely tanked by whoever was facing her. So it was nice to see her get some offense in. And then Mia sort of eventually gets this, she rolls through into like what looks like it's going to be a pin and then just rolls again into a sort of teddy bear roll arm bar variation that forces Indy to tap. She has a very wry smile to herself for a second and then it's like, okay, got to go back to the hospital now. So see you later. This was fine. I don't really know why it happened, but.
The submission looked gnarly. I think, Hartwell telling Mia Yim to bask in her glory being the switch that turned the trigger on the match. Like, yeah, it had a little story in it. A little bit of a contrived way to get there because this could have happened, you know, next week, for example.
Yeah.
But sod it, like, it reminds us what happened to Keith Lee. It gives Mia a dominant victory. Indy Hartwell gets to wrestle more. Everybody wins. I wrote down, damn, that submission, cool. There's your articulate journalism right there.
It looked great and was like pretty unique. So it's a good way to get that move over. There was just that bit of me through most of this match that was sitting there thinking, is this going to be more Scarlett and Karrion Kross? Like, because I don't know what's like, it would be interesting if he didn't say in the contract, if Karrion Kross has to keep his hands off Keith Lee and not terrorize Keith Lee, you know, Mia Yim's come back to the performance center or Full Sail on her own and now is kind of at the mercy of Scarlett and Karrion Kross, who are the only people there with regards to that feud. So like they kind of, I was at least expecting Scarlett to sort of make an appearance here. But then I guess you don't just want to do another couple's feud for Keith Lee and Mia Yim after them just having done the Gargano. So like this was fine. Made Mia look strong. I'm interested to see where, like what happens with her next week and maybe if they involve Karrion Kross, because I think that's a really good way to play on Keith's emotions. And you know, like they've done the physical damage and now it's time for the emotional damage. To sort of really put him in a bad stead for TakeOver. We then got Finn Balor with more of his kayfabe breaking promo work here, saying, even if you're 18 or 49 or living in a retirement home, everyone watches The Prince, which makes no sense because they are not winning those demographics.
He is the demo prince to Jericho's demo god.
Yeah. Good promo work, as always, from Finn Balor. Great. Like, yeah, and it was fine. I like the idea that, you know, he's saying it's going to be easy pickings for him of the losers of these matches. And it's just a bit of a flag for later in the show when he comes out at the end and faces off against Velveteen Dream, setting up their match for next week. We then got a package of Triple H calling out Pat and saying the match is on. A little clip from Pat's podcast where he said, I'm going to dance on the grave of NXT.
I did like that line, to be fair.
Do you know what? And I think that's fine. If it's for if that's what it's for, if this is the reason it's happening, it's not because, like last week, the presentation was, it's happening because Adam Cole is short and Pat McAfee can't stop saying that he's short. And so Adam Cole is annoyed, right? That Pat McAfee, a man who is slightly larger than him, has called him short. That was the presentation last week. If it's for the actual honor of NXT as a feud, I like that. Like, I can get into that. I want to see Adam Cole kick Pat McAfee's ass for just saying NXT's rubbish. Like, you know, I think it's useless. I'm going to come in here. I'm a legit celebrity and I'm going to beat your best guy, apparently, because that's how little I think of the sport of wrestling and your rubbish promotion. That's great, but that's not what's happening. But the line's really good. We then got Damian Priest versus Bronson Reed. They just had a lovely big guy tussle, really.
I love this match.
I really like this. It's really good. They really got going. And
they just went for it.
They just absolutely went for it. I loved the bit where they were egging each other on and Reed was just doing the kind of classic, go on, see if you can knock me down. But then every time Priest went for it, he was like, I'm going to step two steps closer and just knock you down. And then Priest like tried to go for a run up and then just got stopped and then just did this like crazy combo, tried to do the run up again. And Bronson Reed did the like switcheroo, ran into the ropes behind him. And then as Priest turns around to be like, whoa, where did the man go? Boom, off you go. See you later. Priest also busted out a bunch of his like crazy aerobatics that he can do. He did this springboard somersault cannonball senton thing off the ropes. And I don't know how he turned his body in the space that he had to do that. Like from the camera angle, he looked like he had about 4 foot of space in which to do a flip. And he is obviously 11 foot of man or whatever he is. Like, and I have no idea how he just went, I'm upside down now. Brilliant, brilliant stuff. They just did so many, they worked really well together. It bodes really well for the ladder match because, you know, I would say that the sort of tier of guys they've put in this mid-card haven't really been given a chance to shine very much, like Bronson Reed specifically. Cameron Grimes has not had many long matches in stuff. So like Damian Priest is kind of the glue currently holding that match together. So it was interesting to see him like work so well with Bronson Reed, and you know, like, well, there's a good core here of this match. So I'm very confident that the ladder match is going to be ace because this match was really, really fun.
This reminded me of like proper classic NXT, and one of the reasons why I really like NXT, which is just like watching two guys who, you know, I can't keep up completely with the indie scene. Two guys who I hadn't, weren't familiar with their work, being introduced, you know, slightly down the ladder and building themselves up slowly with the occasional meaningful victory to the point where there's these two guys who I wasn't familiar with fighting each other in a match that really sucked me in. And now I care about seeing them on a takeover. It's the NXT method with Damian Priest and Bronson Reed. The perfect example of why NXT, especially like way back when they were properly building stars, where the NXT model works. It felt really, really classic, really kind of like back to basics. Here's two dudes who you've gotten to know who they are, what they want, and they're just slugging it out. And genuinely one of the best examples of it doesn't matter who wins because both guys look great. I really, really, really dug it. It's not a takeover match. It's a really good TV match and an example of why slow and steady NXT works, and why sometimes we react a little bit against when NXT has a bit of main roster goofball on top of it. Because you can see the mechanism here of these guys getting time, few meaningful wins, fighting each other in order to build to that match where they both are going to shine. It's really, really, really good.
And it's that lovely stuff that NXT does and NXT wrestlers always do with their matches, which is it's like that level of like callbacks and working together and iterations on your spots. You know, it's that WWE, I think main roster guys have their five spots and they hit their five spots and then they do their finisher and they win the match. And here, you know, even in this one match, we got that somersault, we got the somersault senton thing. And then when Priest goes for it again, he gets caught into a power slam. And that's when Reed goes up for the big tsunami splash, which he misses. And then
sort of
half, he sort of crushed his foot, really. The Reckoning is countered just into a rolling cover. And Reed picks up, sort of just squeaks a victory out of this match. There was just enough iteration on the moves here that it, you know, you were like, I can see that when they have ladders and three other people added into this match, they're going to be able to do some incredible, crazy stuff. And again, it's also been shown in the triple threat matches that, you know, NXT can just throw together a bunch of guys they consider mid-card and brilliant matches do just happen. They just fall into their lap and make for great TV. We then got the counter package to Dakota Kai from Io Shirai, which one-upped her massively. Io Shirai's packages have got bloody brilliant since she won the NXT Women's Championship. Yeah. The sort of Lady in the Water ones was some of my favorite, where she's, you know, the sort of, I was going to say wet girl, but that's not correct. She was just in a pool of water being sort of underwater for half of it. Those were really cool. I really like this sort of use of Dakota Kai's character as well and sort of being like, yeah, you know, like it's playing on the idea that she's not really been a feature of NXT. She's had this heel turn. They don't really know anything about her. Like she really only clicked with people when she was cutesy Dakota Kai and the, Io says that, I remember you as the girl who was terrified of Shayna Baszler. Well, after TakeOver, you're going to be the girl who's terrified of me too, which is just great promo work. And then it ends, so she's doing most of this in Japanese, and then she ends the promo by just countering what Dakota said about her being inside Io's head and said, you're not in my head, you just piss me off. Which I just said, like, really good, like really, really good stuff here. And I am excited to see the match off the back of these two promos, which I think is, you know, good work.
Every match has had a build. It is a takeover full of matches where you understand pretty much where they all come from. And it looks like a varied card. Like, that's the thing. Like, takeover is, yeah, I always love a takeover. I always will. Unless NXT truly goes off the rails, I don't think I'll ever not be hyped for a takeover. But yeah, every single match has its unique selling point, whether or not it sells to us specifically as UK fans who don't like football, whatever. But every match has a unique selling point. And yeah, again, it's that varied nature of NXT, which is, it's really, really strong. Really strong.
Yep. So speaking of really strong, that's Mercedes Martinez, isn't it? Because she came out with Aaliyah for a tag match against Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter, who have matching gear. So that means Team Ninja is now officially a thing in NXT. They've been working the house show circuit as a tag team for most of their time in NXT. And this is the first sort of like proper moment on TV where they felt like a cohesive unit. They've just been like friends before, and now it feels like they're actually becoming a team, which is a shame because they were going to lose this match as a given, because that is their job.
I wrote here, Caden Carter and her best friend Casey Catanzaro versus Mercedes Martinez and her best friend Aaliyah.
Oh yeah,
I really like the pairing of Mercedes Martinez and Aaliyah. It's really great. It's just like high school bully with like the other smaller bully behind him, just like giving all the front. But you know, it's just it's Martin Prince and Nelson Muntz. I will forever love the pairing of stoic, uncompromising badass and gobby little bastard. And I think they are working really well. And also, Kate, give it a year, but Casey Catanzaro is the future, man. She's got proper like kind of Daniel Bryan Bailey underdog story written all over. Give her time to go, because I really like the way she moves in the ring. Bless you. And I think she's got all the upsides in the world. And I think,
so, you know, the podcast listeners, that's going to sound like I sneezed.
Bless you, Laurie.
Yes, yeah, they were just like, that's just a really cute sneeze that I have there.
You can throw your sneezes. It's more close to magic. I dug this. Mercedes Martinez and Aaliyah are the ones with the storyline development happening at the moment. So of course, they win. It seems like it's Shotzi. I'm not necessarily mad keen on like the tag nature of it proceeding. Like, Aaliyah getting kind of storyline benefit is good. Aaliyah has been like bumming around with nothing to do for like 5 years. And she finally has something that she can sink her teeth into. I mean, obviously the match that we all want to see is Mercedes Martinez versus Rhea Ripley. Perhaps that will be at TakeOver as well. And again, that is completely different to Io Shirai versus Dakota Kai. Just two hoss fight. I really want to see it. It's set up. I imagine is a tag match for next week, which hopefully will lead into TakeOver. But yeah, no complaints.
Yeah, I like this. I also like the bit where Robert Stone, you know, got a moment at the beginning to be like, I'm going to offer Casey Catanzaro a role within the company. And like, she was like, you know, you just got to drop the loser. And then Casey gets a bit of fire and goes for the slap. And then as he ducks, she just stomps him on the ankle. Like, that's, you know, it didn't make Stone look too ridiculous. And I think him trying to expand the brand as much as possible when he's actually got some, you know, something worth offering now. It's like, yeah, come hang with me, but more importantly, hang with Mercedes Martinez, because she is going to carry all of us to victory. She will, no matter how many women we put in this brand, she will carry all of us. She's so good. And like, she obviously is great in the ring and does fantastic stuff, but there's just I just like the sort of nonchalant nature of her character as well. Like there's a moment where she just does the most casual tag I think I've ever seen. She just, as Aaliyah sort of shuffles Caitlin Carter back into the corner, she just sort of taps her very lightly and gets in very lazily and starts working her over. The fact that she's completely unfazed, like again in the entrance as well, when Aaliyah's doing the sort of posing up a storm behind her and she's just strutting down to the ring. And again, after they win and Aaliyah's like trying to celebrate, she even tries to celebrate with Martinez, and Martinez just walks out of the way. Is like, nope, not taking any part in this. I've won the match. That's all I'm here for. Yeah. And in the end, Ripley arrives, who doing as ever, arriving to make a really big entrance or to sort of get the jump on someone, but does her full entrance anyway. Which I love about Rhea Ripley. You know, it is a really cool entrance, but at some point, you've got to run down to the ring like you care. Like, she always struts in, stands at the top and does the big stomp. And then it's like, okay, and now I will storm the ring. But yeah, Ripley storms the ring. Numbers game gets advantage of her. Shotzi comes out and makes the save. And Martinez and Aaliyah and Robert Stone spill to the back. Again, probably setting up a tag match for next week. Not massively keen on it, but if it leads to Rhea Ripley versus Mercedes Martinez at TakeOver, I will, you know, give it some props next week because I want that match really, really badly.
Yeah, I want to see Rhea's team win by pinning Aaliyah. Mercedes Martinez getting, you know, pissed off about that. I wasn't beaten. Stone, get me that match with Rhea Ripley. Like,
and also like tearing apart, probably just tearing through Shotzi Blackheart as well post-match is another good way to be like, look, it's now just me and you. You've taken out Aaliyah. I've taken out your partner. Let's us settle it. Like, yeah, I think there's scope in that to make a really good bit of booking. Candice and Johnny then had dinner. Well, they were just sort of knobbing about in the house as, again, they have matching tracksuits now that say power couple, which I thought was quite cool. Candice is telling the dog a fairy tale, talking about a dragon not noticing the fairy, saying that Tegan needs to mind her own damn business. Johnny leans over as this sort of, it does that, it's that same thing they've done before where it sort of shifts into the other realm in which they're then cutting a promo down the camera while the other person is eating their dinner, fixing a light bulb, whatever it is. Johnny then sort of snaps into ranting, goes, what book are you even reading over there? Oh, it's fine. It doesn't matter. Because he says the Wednesday night is going to ride in and save the day because there's a lot of guys like Damian Priest and that thick guy. And they're young and they're hungry, some more than others. But Johnny Wrestling is going to, you know, Johnny's going to beat them, saying that he's got a match against Ridge to qualify for the ladder match. And then he's up a ladder fixing a light bulb and he says, you know, the next time I climb a ladder, and Candice is like, oh, it won't be to fix the house. And he'd be like, no, it'll be to fix NXT. Good night. And they leave and they turn the light off, leaving the ladder set up.
I was so annoyed.
Who does that?
When he comes down in the morning with the lights, you know, low, and you know, he just, the ladder set up at the bottom of the stairs.
That is bad luck waiting to happen.
Very bad, very poor housekeeping. God, the Garganos are dorks, and I love it. It's real cheesy, real goofy, but it has a different flavor than pretty much any other heel act does right now. I like him. I do wish that Candice got more feuds that were like, that properly felt like we have a reason to fight rather than Tegan. You got involved, and now I've decided to focus on you because that's the feud that I'm being booked in. It's now your turn to be. I'm annoyed at you.
The problem is because NXT have decided that obviously Candice and Tegan have history because Candice was Rent-A-Friend for so long that she's been mates with everyone in NXT, and they think that's good enough reason to put her in all these little feuds with all the different NXT women. And I just think it's not satisfying as a viewer because I never really bought the friendship in the first place because, you know, the friendship was originally with someone else, but they weren't around because they were injured. So we had to hotshot Candice into the friend role. It just doesn't have that. We've not seen enough of it on TV to really buy into a Tegan Knox feud in this sense. But yeah, I'm in your boat as well. I'd love to see more. Give more of this sort of angle with the Garganos given to Candice. I think it should be very heavily weighted on her side of things rather than on Johnny's side of things. I know Johnny, you want Johnny Gargano to be on TakeOver. You want Johnny Gargano to be on NXT very often. But I think he should be pushing Candice more here, because I think it's, you know, I think she's the more interesting character. She's got more to build off here. Johnny, heel Johnny, who's the loving husband, is quite funny, but it only works in the context of being the loving husband to Candice. And I think that's when it's going to really shine, this pairing. Visually.
Candice going after Io with Johnny as sort of the kind of the mischievous difference maker. I really hope that feud happens, because I'm really looking forward to seeing it. And this kind of, you know, it's very... Johnny Gargano can go through placeholder feuds and they don't necessarily feel as such. Whereas Candice, I don't feel like kind of gets, you know, placeholder feuds are fine. Like that's part of what NXT is all about, is keeping people good by, you know, having these little kind of placeholder feuds. And I like the fact there's, you know, there's like at least three feuds happening in the women's division. You know, it's great. NXT's women's division is fab. It's just, you know, this has filler feud written all over it, just because the motives for the feud are quite weak. And you know, I it's something to that could be improved upon, but the match is probably going to be excellent. So
there. Oh yeah, and you know, and at least they can, you know, like I was saying, we're not convinced. I'm not necessarily convinced by the friendship aspect of this being played up, but once she's got through Tegan, another best friend is Io Shirai. So, you know, at least the target feels like it's in sight. And yeah, I really do think Candice LeRae should be elevated.
And they properly have history that you know and that you can feel, you know, like their roles are reversed now. And that's a really fun kind of little callback to, yeah, though, you know, the amazing cage match they had. Like, yeah, I really, really want to see that match. And I think that is kind of where I think that's our next NXT Women's Champion. And I'm very, very much looking forward to it. And then maybe Johnny can try and do a thing, and then you can maybe really lean into this power couple thing. It feels like we're not there yet, but we're heating up to it.
You don't make tracksuits unless you've got a plan. That's what I say. You don't make custom tracksuits unless you've got big, you know, big plans on the horizon. So it's open for the Garganos.
Dress for the job you want, not the job you have.
Exactly. So the final thing before the main event was a bit of Thatcher's Thatch Can. And he was just talking about the single leg crab transition that he got in the match that he didn't win. And then to talk about turning it into the ankle lock. I really liked the line when he said, like, and you see how this is injuring someone? You see that? The man is yelling. The man is... that's just a great, just a really funny line. I just really enjoyed it. I'm warming to the Thatcher's Thatch Can thing. I'm on board now. So... stop telling me otherwise. My opinion has changed to the right one. Okay, leave me alone. God's sake. And then, we had the Velveteen Dream returning, Kushida versus Grimes. We didn't really talk very much about the match, but Kushida's going for the hoverboard lock while Dream scoops him off the mat, and Cameron Grimes hits the cave in to win. And then Dream and Balor have a face-off after Dream seemingly turns heel by beating down Kushida for a bit. So the closing image of NXT is the Balor versus Dream face-off, setting up the match for next week as we finally find out Balor's opponent. We'll see what WWE decide to do with that, considering the kind of backlash they've faced after last night's episode aired. So, you know, card subject to change and all that. I think this is probably one of those situations in which that it should.
Filmed it, so... They taped it, so that like next week's episode has already been taped. We know that because they're like in this match, Grimes. Ooh, glad you're okay, mate. That was nasty looking. The bit where kind of Kushida does
the shoulder spell
twist, and he just darts his shoulder right onto the mat, so much so that he almost bounced. Difficult to watch, but thankfully he seems to be okay. Mm-hmm. But apparently, one of the reasons why we know that next week's is taped is because apparently there was a report of a very scary botch happening with Johnny Gargano. Apparently Johnny Gargano is fine, But it was bad enough to the point where they had to stop the match, and Triple H and Shawn Michaels had to come out for real this time, not in the Pat McAfee sense, just to kind of check everything was okay.
Hopefully those medics turned up quicker this time than last week in the fake one.
Yeah, so that's what's been reported. So obviously we will see to see if that makes it into the final edit or if they just cut it out. But apparently Johnny Gargano is okay. But yeah, so we know that next week's has been taped. So it looks like, yeah, we are getting definitely Velveteen Dream versus Finn Balor, and then we'll see what happens in the future, I guess.
Yeah, exactly what they choose to do from that end point. Maybe they filmed a couple of endings. You never really know with these things. But we'll see. So that's all we have time for, talking about NXT. I think overall it was a very good show. It was like, it definitely feels like it's takeover season. Everything is progressing really nicely. I'm starting to get really hyped for a bunch of the matches that are happening and a few of the prospective ones that haven't been announced yet. I'm, you know, really hopeful for a Rhea Ripley versus Mercedes Martinez on the takeover. I think that's going to be so good. It does feel like, like you said, it's a very varied card for takeover, and that can be very, I think that is quite exciting. Like we've had a variety show version of NXT for the last couple of months because of lockdown and stuff, and it's worked quite well in certain situations. So I think there's, you know, every match on this card has the potential to offer something different, and that is really cool. And you know, at least feels like a kind of blowout. Here's a, you know, the 30th takeover. This is a important milestone. So here's really the full description of what NXT can be in match form.
Do you like quizzes? Do you like wrestling? Do you like watching self-professed experts in their fields being exposed as dangerous frauds? Then you'll love Quizzlemania, brought to you by Parts Funknown, the team behind acclaimed wrestling RPG No Rolls Barred. Join us every week as four wrestling pundits pit their knowledge against each other in a cerebral wrangle for prizes, glory, and a bit of good old-fashioned escapism. Enjoy the videos live every Wednesday on Parts Funknown's YouTube channel, or subscribe right now to have them beam straight to your mobile device. Quizzlemania, it's the showcase of the Immorons.
Have you won Fall Guys yet, Adam?
I haven't got a crown. I'm really bad at it. I've gotten to like the final stage so many times, brag, but I've not managed to make it. I am uniquely bad at Hexagon, which is and I can't do the running to the top of the mountain, like Full Mountain or something. I can't win. I get so, like, I'm really bad. I get there and then I'm not closing. I can't close the deal, Laurie. It's really upsetting me. I really want to play it now, though, that you've spoken about it. And I do have my lunch hour coming up, so I might try and get in one match.
And that's it.
It's so good. Have you played it?
I literally played two rounds yesterday, because we did, the first one was the obstacle course with the swinging doobies that you jump over. And the second one was the one where you have to like infect the other team with
with
parts or whatever. And we didn't win that. So I lasted right until the end, but it was just, I was just like, oh, you let me down, guys. You didn't infect their little yellow lads.
I'm not as on board with the team stuff. If they came out with servers that remove the team games, then I would lock myself in that server forever and barricade the door. I think the team games are fine. Like, you know, the Rocket League one is all right. But the one where you got to, like the Hoarder one, where you got to get the balls and like get them in your, it's so difficult.
You've got to rely on other people, and I don't trust their abilities. Like, I watched, you know, the first round that I did, I sort of raced away and was within the first eight people to qualify, and I was then watching everyone else do it, and it's like, no, I wasn't even good. That's the thing. It's not even like I was knocked about like a sack of shit by these
nice good things.
Doesn't matter. And like, I still came eighth, and then I was watching these idiots trying to get through the course. No wonder we didn't win the next round. That's all I have to say about Fall Guys. I haven't had a chance to play it properly yet. I really liked it, though, the little bit I played it. It's got just the right sort of wobbliness to the physics to just make it just that little bit imperfect. Do you ever play Human Fall Flat?
No, I haven't. I played the fighting game one, which is very, very like it. It's
Gang
the one
Beasts. With
Gang Beasts. I played Gang Beasts. This room really obviously reminds me of that, in that the physics is sort of a crapshoot. Like, it lessens how seriously you're supposed to take it because the physics is just so bananas.
Yeah, it's like jelly baby physics, and that's exactly what Gang Beasts and Human Fall Flat has as well. And they are both wonderful, wonderful little games. And I think Fall Guys, it's crazy how successful that's been.
It's so Moorish. It's so, like, it's a perfect combination of, like, every level is different. So you've always got, like, well, if I play one more game, I might get the level that I really like. I do wish there wasn't such a variance in quality. But, like, it's not like, you know, when the egg scrambled one appears, which I hate. If the egg scrambled one appears, like, I don't stop playing. I will keep playing. And it's just got that one more go kind of, I feel like I've got it in me, you know. It's really addictive stuff. And it's
battle royale for people that can't do shooters, basically. For me, we didn't really explain what it is. It's a battle royale platformer game.
Yeah.
But it's made by a UK company and it's called Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout. So I can only imagine that it is entirely based on Keith Chegwin's It's a Knockout.
Yeah.
Which is brilliant.
I'm not hugely into my shooters. I like them fine, but I'm not that good at them. Where I loved growing up, and like I played most kind of goes of it, was Mario Party. I love loads of little mini games with like loads of little kind of different mechanics and how they work. And this is basically Fortnite, but Mario Party. It's everything. It's the online game that I've wanted to play. I didn't realize I wanted to play it for so long. I think they can tidy up some of their games because I don't think all of them are necessary. Some of them suck, but the overall experience is so compulsive. I love it.
And what could be a more ringing endorsement in 2020 for a game than saying it's a Fortnite but something? Because that is also all meetings about game development currently as well, which is just, it starts with the word Fortnite but on the board, and then they just write different words in until they get it. It'll be like Fortnite but Gran Turismo soon. We'll get there eventually. But yeah, if you have PlayStation Plus, it's free on PlayStation Plus. It's really fun.
Get it, try it.
Let us know if you do as well, because maybe we could set up a big tournament or something. Ooh. Play together. That'd be fun. So let us know. And also, if you are a podcast subscriber, then you have a lot of stuff coming up because it is almost SummerSlam. So you're going to get, you've got the Friday Magazine show, which stuff will be announced for. I don't know if it's been announced now or whether it's going to be announced later today, so I'm not going to spoil it, but there is permanent host on the Friday show. AEW's also out now. You've got Saturday talking about SmackDown. You've got Raw, et cetera, next week. We're also going to be doing predictions on the YouTube channel for SummerSlam. I think we're also going to be doing predictions for NXT, potentially.
I think so.
I don't know when I'm doing that. That's something we'll have to work out. But next week you're going to have all the podcasts because you're going to have a review of NXT, you're going to have a review of SummerSlam, and then you get Payback and All Out as well within the week. It is busy time for wrestling.
Not only that, but SummerSlam is going to be a super chat showdown, basically, which is like hashtag FTF versus hashtag Jam That Jam, which is going to become the dominant slogan of WrestleTalk. It's us versus Fightful, basically.
I had no say in whether this was going to happen or not to the company I work for. I feel very betrayed as an employee, but whatever. We'll get through this.
Then after SummerSlam, you've got QuizzleMania X7, where I will be competing for the very first time in order to try and not have my head shaved. And then obviously you've got Payback after that. Like, it's such a busy 3 weeks.
Oh yeah. And that's not including all the videos we're making. So if you like WrestleTalk stuff, we've got WrestleTalk for you. So
oh boy. Yeah. Do we?
Anyway, thanks for listening to this podcast. See you later. Goodbye.
WrestleTalk Rumble, now it's live!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.